Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. As always, John Kelly here with my good friend Jeremiah Stringer, the king of Kentucky backpacking. Jeremiah, we had the honor just this Monday of being on the Backpacking and Blisters podcast. I don't know if you got to listen to the episode, but I want to say we knocked it out of the park.
Well, that was definitely a lot of fun hanging out with those guys, and we had a little competition on there. We had a little trivia and a little competition.
And we had to throw them a bone so that they could tie us.
Yeah, I still call that a dub, though. Win's a win.
I definitely say we won. I definitely say we won. I think you were being really nice there at the end, and I was impressed by your kindness.
Yeah. So, I do what I can. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I definitely would suggest other people going and checking out that podcast episode as well. And we had them on here as well.
Yeah, we had them on as a live stream. We kind of jokingly did a versus thing, but we weren't serious about it. It was more of a just kind of a fun thing to throw out there, and they took it seriously.
Yeah, about 5 minutes before the show, I sat down and I wrote a couple questions out and a couple hacks and stuff to share.
And I would like to say, and I hope they hear this because they need to hear this. Like, they told us to do backpacking questions. We were asked what the wing speed velocity was of a bumblebee.
Yeah, that one was a little bit of a cheat code, if I have to say so myself.
Yeah, I don't think that's really a backpacking question. I think they had that. The one question they had about Canyonlands, that was a good question.
Nonetheless, the flapping of the wings, that was an interesting topic, though.
It was. But you know what's funny is I actually wanted to answer it, the one that was right. But you had been on a roll up to that point.
Yeah, I messed us up on that one.
Well, I wouldn't say you messed us up. I should have stuck with my gut. I usually trust my gut. And I didn't do it on that one time. So I failed myself. You definitely did not fail us. I did. So I'll take the blame for that one.
Well, that's okay. We can share the blame.
We'll share it. That's what we do around here. We're a sharing group. So,
no live stream this week. We had trick-or-treating. Did you get to enjoy some candy there?
Oh, man, did I ever. I mean, we're still enjoying the candy. There's so much candy in this house right now.
I took some to work, man. Bridget was about to run out on Monday night, and I was like, you want me to run and get you some more? So I went to Dollar General, spent another $25 on candy, and about the time I got back is when she stopped having a flow of trick-or-treaters. Then it was like a car every 15 or 20 minutes. And I was like, I didn't even have to go get replenish this, but guess who gorged themselves on chocolate last night once all the trick-or-treating was done?
Oh, well, yeah. Who do we know that's on this podcast that just loves chocolate?
Dude, I bet I had at least a pound.
Oh,
at
wow.
Least.
You know what I love?
What?
Swedish fish.
Swedish fish? Is that the fruity?
Yeah. Yeah, I dig on the Swedish fish. I don't know why I like them so much, but the kids like them too, but they got some. We always do dad tax and mom tax with the candy, you know.
What's that?
Because the kids can't eat all that food. Like, we can't let them, as parents who actually care about their children, we don't want them having diabetes at the age of 7.
Oh, so, easy now, John. So, I ate way more chocolate than your kids last night.
But you're a grown adult, and if you want to give yourself diabetes, no one can blame anyone but you. See, but if my kids get diabetes, I could be called in for, like, you know, bad treatment of children. So that is my excuse for why I take some of my children's candy. Definitely had some Swedish fish last night, man. Was very, very happy with my life. And my little girl, this is the cutest thing ever. We get to this one house. She's dressed up as a sugar plum fairy, by the way.
Oh my
god. Little
gosh.
Blue outfit with the wings, and she's got a little wand, you know, the whole thing. And we go up to this house, and she sees that there's Whoppers.
Oh, and malted milk balls.
She knows that daddy likes Whoppers.
Uh-huh.
So she gets some Whoppers. She goes, Daddy, look what I got for you.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my girl. That's my girl. So it was a good night. What's that?
I went to Mr. Backpacking with Jason Sir's house. and spent the night. He had a Halloween party. Everybody dressed up. Him and his partner, they have a lot of friends and family that come over every year for the Halloween shindig that they do, and they all bring their kids and they do arts and crafts and paint pumpkins and
played
cornhole and all this. But Bridget and I decided, you know, I live like an hour and a half from Jason, maybe hour and 45 minutes. There's traffic and stuff. And I was like, I don't know what time that will be done, because we have driven back at like 1 a.m. before. And I'm like, it's just too late.
Too late.
So I was like, I'm going to spend the night up there. So we took, for the first time ever, and used a truck tent. So
really,
I have this company, I won't say the name, and they last year they asked me, they're like, hey, can we send you this this truck tent? And I was like, this isn't during the summertime, they sent it to me. And I was like, yeah, you can send it, but you know, I can't guarantee that it's going to be in a video. And they're like, well, if you don't like it, will you just send it back to us? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then they, you know, they'd email me a month later or so and be like, so have you used it? And of course I hadn't. Yeah. You know, I just took it out of the box literally Friday and then went to Jason's on Saturday. And I kept telling them no. And then whenever I was ready to use it, and this was in the springtime, that's whenever my truck, I had all the engine problems.
That's when you had all the fun issues with your truck.
And I couldn't take it in the Ranger, because the Ranger, the truck bed, it's not the right size for the truck tent. And right. If you never heard of a truck tent, basically it's a tent that sets up in your truck bed, or they build really nice ones that can kind of go over the cab of the truck and you climb up in it and stuff. But this one's pretty basic canvas tent. It kind of sits and sags into the truck bed, and then part of it sticks up over the truck bed and kind of closes you in, etc. And I set it up on Friday, and it took me probably 30 minutes to set it up. It was ridiculous. And I kept going through.
That's so funny.
And I was like, I cannot figure it out. And the instructions were sewn. in the bag. So, right. You know, there's like a big old tag the size of a sheet of paper. It's got the instructions. And I was like, there's only 4 steps to setting this up. Like, the first step was check the inventory. Second step, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, where is the rest? I couldn't figure it out. And then I kept on looking, kept on trying different poles. And I looked, and on the back of that sheet was the rest of the directions. So I'd spent 30 minutes trying to set it up with half the directions.
Right.
And then the worst part was, once I actually went through the directions and set it up, I saw that they had sent me a wrong pole.
Well, so that's still good.
One of the poles, they accidentally, I guess, sent 2 of them. Mm-hmm. And it should have been 1 and a different color coordinated pole. I had 2 greens. I needed 1 green and 1 yellow. So I really wanted to use this truck tent to stay at Jason's. It was the perfect time to use it. It was only getting down to like 55 degrees. Me and Bridget could sleep in the back of the truck. And I decided, since I have some extra equipment, I had like an old tent that I had to throw away, but I kept the poles. I modified one of the poles from that old tent and made myself, rigged it up, the pole that I was missing. Wasn't perfect, but it got the job done.
Right.
Well, I got to say, truck tent, absolutely love it. 10 out of 10 would use again. This company and their truck tent in particular, that is a hard no. Not only did they send me one of the wrong poles, but also, like, this was the first time I set it up. And I was like, Bridget, look at this. You know, in this tent, a lot of times tents have grommets and the pole sticks into the grommet. Well, this one, it had some grommets, but it also had like little sleeves. They're like fabric sleeves. And the end of the pole goes in the little sleeve.
Okay. You know?
It's like a little pocket. Right. And I stuck the pole through, and this is just like literally the pole for the awning of the tent. And it started punching through, and it has even the little rubber tip on the end of the pole. It started punching through. I don't know if it's dry rotted or what. So this company, I got to tell you, they don't want me to make a video on particular truck tent. But if you haven't tried the truck tent, dude, it's super convenient. if I had a nicer one, this is probably one of those cheap Chinese knockoffs. But if I had a nicer one, I would just keep that in the truck all the time. Keep an air mattress in there.
Yeah.
And I think it'd work fantastic. Just need a little more insulation under my butt. Got a little bit of the cold butt syndrome.
Now, I want to say there's a statement, there's a saying that goes out there, and it says imitation is the biggest form of flattery.
Uh-huh.
And you got really flattered this past week in a video. So I get online, and I think it was on Instagram, and there's a picture of some guy in a beard, but it's a fake beard and sunglasses. Uh-huh. And it's a picture of him below and a picture of you above, and he's doing a face that you made for one of your thumbnails.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, what? And then I realized who it was. It was someone who's been fairly absent lately from the backpacking world.
Yeah.
And that was Restless Outdoors. And Restless only roasts the big boys. Like, he likes to roast the big boys. And Jeremiah, you got roasted by Restless Outdoors, which means you are now a big boy contender in the backpacking world. How does it feel?
Well, it feels pretty good. I like Restless. I'm friends with him. I've backpacked with him a few times. And yeah, he does like to pick, but I can take it. If it takes, this is me firing back at Restless.
Oh, here we go. Let me get a drink.
Okay, here we go. Some of our listeners have no idea even who this is. Probably no offense, not. Restless. You know, they, some of them have never checked out my YouTube channel. They literally could care less. They're just listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Or some of our first time viewers never even have heard of either of us.
Right.
But that's okay. I'm glad that I could provide Restless with some content. Sometimes it's hard to think of content. So I'm glad that I could provide him with the content that he needed to produce a video. We're getting him back in the game. You know, it took me being successful after Restless laid the camera down for multiple years to...
Was it multiple years or was it like 9 or 10 months?
Let's look it up. Let's give it a goog.
Okay, you keep talking. I'll find it.
All right, you find it. Anyway, yep, I'm firing back at Restless. Like I said, I'm glad that I could tickle his fancy with that video. He did have some interesting comments on there. I love, dude. So
the sponsorship was great.
Yeah, the sponsorship was great. That's what I was going to say. I did leave Restless a comment because the video had me rolling laughing. He likes to pick, and it is a little bit mean and rude, but I am all for the freedom to produce whatever that you want. And I wouldn't advocate for him picking on me, but I don't think that he should be restricted in the content that he should make. So if that's what his viewers like and that's what he likes to make, I think that he should be able to make whatever he wants. Well, dude, I got a good laugh out of it, man.
Honestly, there are 3 videos that have been out in the last month by him.
Well,
he put out a video a month ago. Restless mm-hmm. Outdoors, you're doing it all wrong. I didn't know he started putting videos back. I don't have to start watching these. Then a Pictured Rocks pageantry was 2 weeks ago. And then he just put this one out 2 days ago. He's back in the game, I think, man.
He's back in it. And you know, Restless is so funny. And meeting him in person and talking to him and hanging out, if you can do that, you're going to laugh. And you're going to have a good time. So he's so funny. I wish he would keep producing content and he can be successful.
Yeah.
And I don't know what success means to him. To me, I just shoot straight with you. I want my channel to continue to grow.
Yeah.
I want to make lots of money from my channel. And I want, these are all true things. I want lots of views, but I also want to provide people with content that's going to help them have a better time in the outdoors, which is one of the things that Restless said that was making fun of me. But
the tip of making sure you have water on trail was a really good one. So that's a good tip. Make sure you have water on trail.
Restless, it's funny. He was bleeping out some of his curse words, but the bleeps don't quite cover them.
Not quite, but man, that was funny. That was just funny.
It was hilarious. I laughed and laughed. And I commented on there and told him how funny it was. And the sponsorship with the bra.
The sponsorship was good.
Now, I was a little bit confused on why he picked the bra, though. Because my video didn't have anything to do with the bra. Maybe it's just funny, or maybe there's something that's going over my head. Or maybe he thought the chest pack that I used as a sponsor video looked like a bra. I'm not sure. You think that's what it was?
I don't know, but I can't be gaining any more weight, or I'm going to have to buy one of those things. So, all right. So listen. So I'm getting ready to go on a big hike for me.
Uh-huh.
Like in days, right?
Yeah.
Going to the Foothills Trail.
Uh-huh.
And we've got our shuttle all taken care of. We're getting ready to get our hotel room to stay the night before. 77 miles over about a week. And I'm going to do something I've never done before, and I hope it doesn't backfire on me.
What is that?
I'm going to try brand new socks.
Oh,
on this trail. Would you like to see them?
Yes. And also, I was going to tell you, you could probably cache some of your old socks with your food.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of gross, but if you don't like those socks, then you could swap them out at the food cache point.
Well, I like toe socks.
Uh-huh.
So
in Gingy mostly?
I've only ever used in Gingy toe socks.
Uh-huh.
So on this trip, I got these little guys right here. They're called Exo-Toes.
Exo-Toes.
Exo-Toes. Let me see what the name of the company is. It's Exo-Skin is the name of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Exo-Skin. And they're toe socks. I mean, I'm not changing like who I am, but I saw Justin Outdoors talk about these socks. And he bragged and bragged and bragged on these things. And I actually asked him about them at one point. And he said, man, if you like Injinjis, you'll love these things. And
who told you that?
Justin Outdoors. Justin Outdoors. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Canadian.
Yeah. And you can trust Canadians, man. Because they're just overall nice people.
Nice people. Hold the door for you.
Hold the door for you and say, hey. The thing he told me, he's like, if you like Injinjis, you're probably gonna like these. So I bought a couple pair. Because, you know, when you're hiking for a week, you don't want to have just one pair of socks.
Mm-hmm.
So I got two pairs. I can switch them out. I can wash a pair during the week or something if I need to and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to give them a try, man. I will not have worn these until I get on the trail.
Well, that is a bold decision. And I got to say, that's right up there with taking the tent.
It's not right up there with taking the tent because all this is putting socks on.
I have to advocate for the hammock on this trip. I know that you're dead set on the tent.
Actually, I'm doing the hammock.
No way.
I'm doing the hammock, and I'm doing it for reasons that aren't probably what you're going to say. But go ahead and tell me why you want me to do the hammock.
I want you to do the hammock because, for one, you're not going to have to worry about a spot getting set up, but you're not going to have to worry about that anyway. There's plenty of spots. I've done the Foothills Trail. And two, I think that is just going to be more comfortable. You got a lot of experience with the hammock and you used it a ton all throughout the previous backpacking season. You have it dialed into your comfort rating. And, I think you got it figured out. The tent, I think the tent is a curveball. And especially if you're using a different tent than you've used in the past, you kind of are not learning on the fly, but you're practicing setting that up more than you would have to practice on the hammock.
Well, the nice thing is I actually have used, okay, so I tried two different setups before this trip with tents.
Uh-huh.
Completely different setups, like different tent, different sleep system, everything. And the one I used was the Gossamer Gear the 2.
Uh-huh.
But that floor on the Gossamer Gear the 2 makes me nervous.
Yeah, what makes you nervous about it?
It's so thin.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got a really thin floor.
What's it made of? Is it Sil Poly?
Yeah, Sil Poly. Okay. But it's just really, really thin. Uh-huh. And that just makes me nervous because, I mean, if you slide the wrong way, or if I happen to have left my knife in my pocket or something, I just happen to slide the wrong way. And it, you know what I mean? Just as thin. And I guess part of that, too, is when I got the first one, it had a little bit of a cut in it.
Uh-huh.
So it just, I don't know. It makes me nervous. It's easy to set up, though. I've set it up over a dozen times out actually in the backcountry. It's not that big of a deal. But I got the Outdoor Vitals. Oh gosh, I'm gonna lose my mind not remembering what this one's called. The Fortius two-person tent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great tent. That's a really, and dude, I'll be honest with you, it feels like bulletproof.
Now, which did you like better? I mean, I love both Outdoor Vitals and Gossamer Gear.
I like the Outdoor Vitals one better.
And what did you like about it more?
So I tested them both out in the same place. Both on windy nights, like really windy nights. Both left them all day and then came back to them. And when I left the Gossamer gear tent and came back to it, I had to readjust all the guy lines because it sagged a ton just from it, the wind. When I came back to the 40th tent, I didn't have to adjust anything. And the 40th tent, I had no condensation overnight.
Wow.
So there's that. So I like the 40th tent, and it's easy to set up. I mean, the first time I set it up, it took me less than 5 minutes. So, I mean, I'm not, as far as setting up that tent was not a big deal. That was easy. And then the two sleeping pads I tried was the Sea to Summit, was it Etherlight XT, I think, or something like that, or the, I think that's what it's called. But I really like that one, but it's not quite that warm. And I tried out the Big Agnes, whatever it is, SL something or other pad. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. Repeat SL. That is a freaking warm sleeping pad. Really warm sleeping pad. I used the Outdoor Vitals 30-degree sleeping bag the first night, and I don't like the zipper on it very much. The zipper I found was rigid, too rigid. And I didn't like that when I was trying to zip it up. It was like I had to work at it to zip it up a lot of times. And it wasn't because it was tight or anything. It just had trouble zipping up. It was kind of annoying. But I got a, what was it? Sierra Designs tent. Or not tent, sleeping bag. I got 4 hours sleep last night. I watched the Browns beat the crap out of the Bengals. It was awesome.
Yeah. Shout out to the Browns. They beat my Bengals.
It was really nice. I got the Sierra Design sleeping bag. And that's the one I told you about that has no zippers on it.
It's kind of tucks in.
Yeah, it's a 20-degree sleeping bag, and that is a warm sleeping bag. Like, I think when I used it, it got down into like down to like 40 degrees or 39 degrees or something like that. And I had my feet tucked out the bottom of the bag most of the night. Like, there's a little place where you can stick your feet out.
Yeah, a little tab.
Yeah, so I had my feet out, and the sleeping pad was so warm that with the sleeping bag on top of my feet and the sleeping pad underneath my feet were underneath that the whole time, and I never got cold.
I don't know how you do it, man.
It was unbelievable. I mean, that sleeping pad is incredible, and it's way more comfortable than any sleeping pad I've ever used.
Well, it sounds like you got the tent, you got the sleeping pad, you got the sleeping bag. So what's the catch?
All that stuff is too warm because I just looked at the weather forecast for what we've got. And most nights it's not even going to get lower than 52 degrees.
Oh, wow. Well, we are going through a warm spell over here on the East Coast.
Yeah. So so the gear I'm going to be taking is my 40 degree under quilt, my 20 degree top quilt, and all my hammock stuff, which is actually lighter than taking the tent stuff. So I'll be saving weight and I'll be warm enough. So it just made sense. I don't really have a warm weather sleeping bag that's light. So,
well, let me ask you a question about the Foothills Trail, because this is something that I ran into, and honestly, it just sucks. Okay.
Shoot.
What is your all's plan? Cause there's three of you, right?
Two. There's two. Oh, there's one two of our guys. Of one of our guys had to drop out because of work.
Okay. Well, there was four of us. So with two people, it makes a lot less likely. But there were, of our four, two people needed to drop. So what would be your plan if it's you and one other person and that person has to drop?
We've already talked with our shuttle driver. And she said if somebody needs to bail, she gave us her number and said we can get her and she'll help us out.
Okay, but the other person, would they stay on trail or would they come off, or is it going to depend on
with it being the two of us? If one comes off, we're probably both going to come off.
Okay,
but I don't think either of us are. We're going to take our time. Like, we're doing this over 7.5 days. We're not doing it like a lot of people do this in like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
For one, my summer didn't give me the fitness I needed to be able to do it in 4 or 5 days. Just being honest, I'm actually nervous about hiking this, to be honest with you, because it's 18,000 feet of elevation, I believe, over 77 miles. So we're talking 2,000 to 3,000 feet of elevation a day on average. So it's a lot of elevation. So I'm expecting it to be slow hiking. I'm not planning on like burning through this thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but also I'm doing something that I haven't done in like 2 years. I'm going to do a full on cinematic video, YouTube video on this hike.
You'll have plenty of time with the lower mileage days.
Yeah. And that was kind of my thought was all the videos and pictures I've seen of this trail have been so good. And I want to do something that really pulls out all of the beauty of this trail, the waterfalls. We're supposed to be there in prime colors. So on the trees, it should be just beautiful. Like all of the views should be amazing. It's supposed to be the perfect time to go. We're going to have a couple days with some rain, which I've done rain before, so I'm not worried about that. Uh-huh. But I'm actually bringing an umbrella so I can still film even when it's raining.
You're taking the Gossamer Gear umbrella?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Gossamer Gear umbrella with me because I really want, if I'm going to do a video, I want to do a good one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you're taking the Sony, your Sony?
Yeah, I'm going to be taking my Sony camera. And I haven't decided if I'm going to take one or two lenses. But I'm definitely going to be taking a telephoto lens where I can kind of switch it up a little bit. Also, I may have talked to a certain gear manufacturer about potentially making me a fancy camera bag that they don't currently make.
So do you wear your camera clipped on your shoulder?
I do. I do. So but I want a waterproof sack for it when I can't do that. You know what I mean?
That's what I was going to ask. Is there like a little, I would imagine it just goes over and then drawstrings or something like that to help kind of like a backpack cover.
I've never even thought about something like that, but I could probably, honestly, I've got so many stuff sacks. I could probably take one of my Dyneema stuff sacks and do that if I really wanted to.
Yeah. Almost like, you know, Hilltop Packs makes those Chair Zero bags.
Yeah.
I imagine something like that, but it just goes over the camera and then zoop, or even if it's a shock cord sewn in and you just kind of stretch it over.
Is it possible that I just got a hack from the king of hacks? That he can't use in his video because he doesn't carry his camera on his shoulder.
I can put
this in my video.
You stick that in your video, and if people use their phone. Now, whenever I first started doing videos, I remember it was like September of 2018. Okay. So we're over 4 years now. And the very first like set of videos, I was trying to do the whole cinematic thing like you're describing. Of course, right. I was terrible. It was literally my first video.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
So I was using like an iPhone 4S or an iPhone 6S. I can't remember. It would have to be a 6. So my point is that it wasn't waterproof. So like in the rain, like you didn't even want to keep your phone in your pocket.
Yeah.
It literally was not waterproof. I still am a little bit scared even with a newer iPhone of it getting ruined by water.
Well, I had mine destroyed. My phone got destroyed when I did the Sheltoe Trace.
Was it iPhone 10?
Yeah, it was the iPhone 10.
See, I think that's supposed to be waterproof. Not
it's
like
supposed
film
to,
underwater.
But they sure didn't treat it like it was when I took it into them.
Well, I try to take as many precautions as possible. I kept a Ziploc bag on me, and I called it my poor man's GoPro, and I'd stick my phone in the Ziploc and film through it.
Yeah.
Audio and video quality, both terrible.
Oh, awful.
go check out my first few videos. I done a trip video of doing the JMT in Tennessee.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know, man. The camera thing, I don't like the camera on my shoulder, and I also don't like... I don't like a 1 liter bottle on my shoulder. I found I can deal with the half liter and the 750 milliliter on my shoulder. You know, people use like those bottle clips
right.
or like the little bags to keep the water on your shoulder. But I don't know. It's just not very comfortable. It feels like a weight on me.
Well, I showed you mine Monday night that I'm going to be using. The 1 liter with the straw.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be using that. I'm going to cut the tube down so it's not so long. But I'm going to use that because it's like the best of both worlds. I'll be able to have that drink straw right there.
Uh-huh.
And I've got a magnetic clip from an Osprey drink thing that I had. I'm going to put that on my pack and just connect the sipper from that thing onto it so that I've got a little magnetic holder for it.
And
all I have to do is pull it and drink it.
How are you putting the magnet? Are you doing hot glue?
No, it's a clip. It just clips to the strap.
Oh, it goes around it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's pretty sweet. It's really sweet. I love the convenience of the water bladder, but I don't like not knowing how much water I have. And for me, and I don't want to carry more than about a liter of water at a time on this trail. From everybody I've talked to, there's very few times you need more than a liter of water with you at a time.
No, there's so much water, dude. You could,
yeah.
I'm telling you, if it was me doing the Foothills Trail again, then I would take some kind of filter I could screw on my bottle, because if I had one liter bottle, or even like a half liter that I could just scoop water into,
yeah.
Especially if it's going to rain around the time that you're going to be there, there's tons of water anyway year round, but it's been pretty dry. So hopefully it will rain a little bit and your waterfalls will be awesome.
It's been raining this week, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And our first day of hiking, it's supposed to, there's like 75% chance of rain. So
you're starting in the rain.
So I'm used to it. It's my lot in life. But I'm fully planning on hiking in rain. I know it's going to happen. So I'm not worried about that. But I do like the idea of having that collapsible bottle right here.
Uh-huh.
Plus, because when you drink it down, it doesn't stay big and fat. It actually compresses as you drink the water out of it. So it kind of flattens down, so it's not sticking out from your chest as much, which would be nice. Well, so I'm looking forward to that. The other thing that I'm trying to prepare for right now is just hills, you know?
Yeah,
just getting ready for those hills. They're brutal, man. I've been doing body weight squats. I've been doing lunges. I've been on a machine at the gym. Anything I can do to get those especially my thighs, just really worked up and ready. Because the less that they have to feel stressed, the less I'll need to like breathe heavy going up and down those hills. A lot of cardio isn't just cardio. A lot of it's just the muscles being able to handle what you're doing. So,
yeah, you have some muscle memory there, though. Your legs remember.
Oh, yeah.
I am proud to say, the 500-calorie challenge that I had for the month of October. Yesterday, see, we're filming this on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I know some people are listening on Wednesday, Thursday, and so on. But yesterday was October 31st for me. And after I went and got Bridget's candy, then I had to go walk another 2 miles to finish up my 500 calorie challenge. So my legs are nice and strong, but you know, today I was like, I'm going to not do anything exercise related. I'm going to give my legs a break. My knees, they've been screaming at me.
Doing a little workout sabbatical.
Yeah. And then we were giving the ACT at school today, and so I was kicked out of my classroom until like a certain point in the day because they were using it for ACT, and so I was on my planning period and decided, I heard a bunch of basketballs bouncing in the gym, and you know how much I love basketball.
Oh, you hate it.
So anyway, I was like, I wonder what's going on in there. I'm hearing a lot of basketball. So I opened the door, and they had like a special ed class was in there, and they were just playing all kinds of different games, volleyball and basketball and badminton and everything. And then there's also a regular class in there that they're all shooting around, playing basketball and stuff, hitting volleyball back and forth. And I asked the gym teacher, I was like, hey, I'm kicked out of my room. Think I can shoot around some with the kids in here? He's like, be my guest. But you know what happens whenever you're shooting around, then somebody challenges you to a game of one-on-one. Then you dominate that game, and then you beat the next game of one-on-one, and then they want to play a game. And long story short, I got all sweaty and worked up a big old sweat, literally had to go to the youth service center, get a different shirt, change out of my sweaty shirt.
What you're saying is you burned your 500 calories anyways.
I think I burned my 500 calories anyway, and my knees were not happy after the basketball. They were like, bro, we need a break.
Bad sabbatical.
Yeah,
Jeremiah, so bad maybe sabbatical.
Maybe we'll start the sabbatical tomorrow, and then while I'm sitting on the couch, I'll be thinking of you out there conquering those heels.
Oh, dude, I cannot wait. It's been a year and 4 months since I got to do a week-long trip, and I am so ready. I'm ready to get out there, man. And the guy I'm going with, my buddy Sean, he's been in a few of my videos, actually. We've done a lot of hiking together. He's now done 2 backpacking trips. He did an overnight and did a 2-night trip. But we've been dialing his gear in, and he's been sending me messages, and we've got everything figured out. We actually did our elevation profile. We know what we're doing as far as elevation each day. We got our campsites picked out. Now, I also know that means we probably, I mean, there's a very slim chance we actually get the one we want each night, but we know about where we want to start looking for campsites. So, yeah, man, we're ready. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And with that said, this was kind of one of those, hey, let's just talk about whatever we talk about episodes. And I have to get off of here because I'm a dad, and dad duty says you have to go pick up your son from school. So,
all right. Well, enjoy your son time, man. I had fun talking to you.
Absolutely, man. So for myself and Jeremiah, you guys have a great rest of your day, and we will catch you on the next one.
Adios, folks.